When Srila Prabhupada was asked what his favorite verse was, he replied that this was his favorite verse, which might seem surprising, seeing as there are so many beautiful verses describing the form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna. But practically, this verse summarizes the whole of Prabhupada's preaching mission to establish dharma, religious principles in the world, and not just any sectarian dogma, but to establish the real purpose of religious principles, which is not for sense gratification, but which is for attaining the ultimate goal of life, which is Krishna, love of Krishna. So Prabhupada explained this word apavarga. The word pavarga literally refers to a series of consonants in the Sanskrit alphabet. The Sanskrit alphabet is arranged in groups of five phonetically, those which are similar phonetically. So the pavarga are the five syllables or consonant, five consonants beginning with pa, namely pa, pa, ba, ba, and ma. Pa, pa, ba, ba, and how do you say and in Croatian?
E.
Okay, so it's pa, pa, ba, ba, e, ma. So these five syllables represent five principles of material life. The first symptom, pa, means parishram, which means hard work. Everyone in this material world has to work hard. This verse that we're reading from Bhagavatam today describes about sense gratification. But to get sense gratification, you have to work hard, which is not fun. People have come here, so many people are driving around on their holiday, wanting to have fun. There's no fun in working hard. When they get their holiday, they don't protest. No, no, why? I want to work in the factory. Don't give me any holiday. I want to work in the factory more. No one protests. They want to escape from parishram, hard work. And what comes after hard work is pa, sometimes pronounced fa, fena, which means foam. Just like you see the horse, they work hard, they're pulling the cart, and the foam comes from their mouth. This represents exhaustion. It's simply you're working hard and you get exhausted. And what is the result of all this? What do you gain from this? That is described in the next word, va, vyatata, which means it's all a useless waste of time. Not only is it a useless waste of time, but bha, bhaya or bhiti means fear, that you're always fearful, that even though you're suffering so much, you're attached to this position, but you're very fearful. You're fearful that others will hurt you, either physically or verbally. And ultimately, everyone is afraid of ma, which means mrityu, or death. Death is waiting for everybody. So for all your hard work, at the end, what is the reward? You simply have to die. And then when you die, you have to get born again, simply to struggle and suffer again and again. This is pavarga, material life. So the Srimad Bhagavatam points at the goal of apavarga, which means no pavarga, no material life, freedom from material life. The Srimad Bhagavatam is part of the Vedic literatures, which describe dharma, which is variously translated. Prabhupada generally translates this as occupational duties. In the Vedic way of life, there are four principles: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. That means regulated occupational duties. That means regulated by the Vedic injunctions. Economic development, sense gratification, again regulated by Vedic directions, and liberation. So these four principles are discussed in this verse, that there are four principles: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So dharma is ultimately meant for apavarga or moksha. By following one's occupational duty, it is expected that he will generate some artha or income. That means that following one's occupational duty means either Brahma Dharma, Kshatriya Dharma, or Vaishya Dharma, or Shudra Dharma, acting according to the rules of one's regulations of one's occupational duty as a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. So by following these, one will generate income. That is meant for living in this material world and sense gratification. But this verse says that that is not the real goal of Dharma. The real goal is to come to the point of apavarga. Because economic development and sense gratification, even if regulated by the Vedic directions, simply produce, they're simply causes of hard work. Anyway, say that first part first. They're simply causes of unnecessary hard work, exhaustion, uselessness, fear, and ultimately death. So, although it's generally understood that dharma is performed for the sake of artha, kama, and moksha, this verse says that actually dharma is only meant for moksha. Although artha and kama may be there, they are not very important, they are not to be encouraged. Foolish people who don't understand the real purpose of the Vedas think that the real goal of the Vedas is simply to gain artha and kama. Sometimes it is asked, why do the Vedas put so much emphasis on this, if the real goal is apavarga? The answer is that this is for foolish people. Most people are foolish. The essence of the Vedic knowledge is Srimad Bhagavatam. But only those who are more intelligent and fortunate can take to the study of Srimad Bhagavatam. These series of verses at the beginning of the second chapter of the first canto set the tone of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a very important series of verses. Devotees should study again and again and commit to heart. Now, in the Vedic process, economic development and sense gratification are allowed. Even in the practice of Krishna consciousness, which is meant for developing pure devotional service, that is also allowed to some extent. Now, in one of the important verses previous to this is mentioned about jnana and vairagya, knowledge and renunciation. Is verse number 7, famous verse. Most of these verses are well-known verses. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojataha janyatya shuvairagyam jnanam chayadahai tukam. You can give the translation. So here, vairagya, detachment, this is mentioned. So if there is a sense of, if knowledge and detachment are being recommended, then why should there be any question of economic development or sense gratification? But it's understood that even in Krishna consciousness, which is the topmost path of the Vedic knowledge, which is being offered in the Srimad Bhagavatam, not everyone can come to the highest stage immediately. The Srimad Bhagavatam is known as Paramahamsa Samhita. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyam Ekalam Jnanam Param Giyate. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana and thus is very dear to the Vaishnavas. It is very much appreciated by Paramahamsas, because in this Srimad Bhagavatam the topmost knowledge of the purpose of life is given. So this is especially meant for the Paramahamsas, but it is also meant for those who aspire to be Paramahamsas. If everyone was a pure devotee, they wouldn't be here anyway in the first place. So there are stages in advancement in Krishna consciousness. So even in Krishna consciousness, especially within the Grihastha ashram, some activities for economic development, they're also required. And some interaction of the senses with the sense objects must always be there. Someone, our Elvis, was wearing a t-shirt saying, no sense gratification. It's a very strong declaration. So some sense gratification is allowed in Krishna consciousness. Not exactly sense gratification in the way of the karmis. But it's not even recommended that everyone just become absolutely renounced. We read about the Goswamis, Nidrahara Viharakadi Vijito. They practically gave up all eating and sleeping. Takvak Turnamashesha Mandalapati Shrinin Sada Tuchavat. They gave up their association with highly aristocratic people as if it was absolutely insignificant, and lived very renounced lives as mendicants. With only their only possessions were kupin and kanta, means their loincloth and some rag to cover them, some kind of ragged blanket. It's a kanta, means what it actually means is that when your clothes become all full of holes, you don't throw them away, but you keep the rags and you sew them all together and make some kind of blanket. It's still common in the villages in Bengal. Don't waste anything. So if we preach that please join our Krishna conscious movement and we will give you this much buttermilk every 2 days. There'll be no one to preach anyway, and no one will want to join either. Sometimes some of our devotees used to follow severe austerities and become very thin. Prabhupada would chastise them. Why are you so thin? If people see you're so thin, they'll think our movement is very austere. They won't want to join. So we don't say that you live an absolutely austere life. But whatever interaction of the senses with their objects may be there, that should be dovetailed in Krishna's service. We don't say, don't eat nice food. In fact, we have the best food in the universe. At least our feasts are famous. That's why it may be very difficult for someone to leave, even if they leave Krishna consciousness, to leave fully, because it's very difficult to give up prasadam. So we don't say no sense gratification, not exactly like that. That may, in the fully advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, one doesn't even think of sense gratification. But in the stage of the sadhana dasha, then little bit is allowed, but that also in the service of Krishna. So that it's not exactly sense gratification in the way that the karmis think of it. You know, I saw another t-shirt, no meat eating, no gambling, no sex, no intoxication. Once Prabhupada was taking the initiation vows from one devotee. So the devotee said, no meat eating, no gambling, no sex. Prabhupada said, no, not no sex, no illicit. We don't say no sex. This is revolutionary for a sannyasi, and even to allow that. But that is allowed, again, only in Krishna consciousness. That means no illicit sex. Dharma viruddha buddheshu kama smi bharatarshaba. In Gita, Lord Krishna says that sex life which is not against religious principles, that is a representation of me. However, that is not the ultimate goal. It is the ultimate goal of the materialistic people to so-called enjoy sense gratification culminating in sex life. But as a result, they simply get hard work, exhaustion, then uselessness means disappointment, frustration, constant fear and anxiety, and death. And that death is not a release. Death means you simply go to suffer in another situation. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatareshainam. This is material life. Born again, die again. Born again, die again. Born again, die again. In youth, people tend to be idealistic, hopeful. How wonderful is life. Let us enjoy. You see at the wedding, they're all smiling. Everything is so wonderful. But by old age, they're worn out, just waiting to die. But for a devotee, actually, there's no old age. A devotee also works hard for Krishna. In fact, a devotee works harder than other people. Sometimes people ask us, why don't you get a job? Say, well, sir, I'm already working from 4 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. I don't really have much time for a job. But they don't consider this hard work to be very useful because you don't get money for sense gratification. And furthermore, devotees are always smiling and happy. They ask, why can't you be like normal people? What is all this smiling and being happy all the time? Why don't you suffer like us? You should work hard and do a job and be a normal person. So devotees are working, but it's not light work, it's play, it's fun. And they don't become exhausted. They become more and more enlivened in the service of Krishna. That's why you see, Prabhupada moved among us, an old man, it seems. Prabhupada moved among us, apparently like an old man. But we never thought of him as an old man. Because he had more energy and enthusiasm than all of us put together. Really, it's amazing that, you see, physically Prabhupada was quite short. And he often had these huge secretaries around him, like Brahmananda, Harikesh Maharaj, just, you know, like this, and Brahmananda was also like this. But when Prabhupada was walking on a morning walk, all these young men, like supposed to be grandson's age, with legs twice as long as him, they'd all be running along trying to keep up. He lives in this world, but his consciousness is absorbed in the spiritual world, Krishna. And he only lives in this world to give others knowledge of Krishna. This was Prabhupada's mission, to wake people up to the goal of life, that you don't have to work hard like an ass foaming at the mouth, that your real dharma is to love Krishna, that all this economic development that the world is crazy about, it's all useless. Economic development is required, but
Yavat artha prayojanam, just as much as you need. Just like the sometimes the politicians in India, at the time of election, they speak about roti kapra makan, means food, clothing, and shelter. If you want to buy something, if you want to eat, you have to drive to some store and buy something. Then a refrigerator is a necessity. Otherwise, you have to go to the shop every day. And a TV is a necessity because people are so dull-headed, they have nothing else to do. So all these things become necessities, artificial necessities. So you have to simply work harder and harder and harder to produce these things and then earn money to purchase them. The idea was we'll produce all these machines to make life easier, then we can have more time for enjoying sense gratification. But then to get all these things, you have to spend so much money. And then you remain in debt for your whole life. Most people, at least in the Western countries, they're in debt. They have to spend their whole life paying off for their house and their car and everything they buy on credit. So they bond themselves like slaves to a life of hard work. Even their so-called sense gratification, they don't know how to enjoy and be happy. You see all these people driving around here in Croatia for their holiday. Look at their faces. See if they're happy. They've worked hard all year, and now they've driven all the way from Germany or somewhere. And are they happy? They look bored, frustrated. But they don't know anything else what to do. They just, what is that called? Gadalikanyai, that's called. Just like sheep. They follow one sheep. If you push one sheep through the gate, then all the others will follow. So they think normal life is work hard, watch TV, drink some alcohol, have sex, go on holiday, and this is how we live our lives. And they presume they're happy, because within society and on TV it's advertised that you should be happy if you do these things. So they say, yes, I have a car, yes, I have a job, yes, I go on holiday to Croatia, yes, I must be happy. But they don't go deep into their hearts and see, are you actually happy? Even they're so much frustrated, they think, well, I'll take some more drinks, or maybe I need a new wife, I've had enough time with this one, or I should go to a psychologist and get some drugs, and that'll make me happy. Psychiatrist. If you're too much nervous, they'll give you something to relax you, and if you're depressed, they'll give you something to make you more active. So all the problems of life are solved. You see, well, if you're feeling unhappy, you just go to the doctor, they'll give you some pills, they'll make you happy. And you know, there are all kinds of videos, any kind of entertainment you can get, you can watch it. So many kinds of entertainment. Happy life. Unfortunately, people are not happy. But they're so dull-headed, it's like you're not even allowed to think, am I happy or not? You just presume, yes, I am happy. This gross sense gratification and TV just dulls, makes people very dull-headed. That's maybe one reason why we find here in the ex-Soviet bloc, I hope you don't mind me calling you part of that, that many people are taking to Krishna consciousness, because they haven't been so much bombarded by gross sense gratification. Intelligence is not totally dull, and the brain is not overloaded with so many different kinds of sense gratification and information. So the intelligence is still a little bit clear. So when we present the message of Krishna consciousness, people can take to it more easily. But you're probably seeing in the last few years since the world opened up how life is becoming more and more complex, isn't it? What do you think? You notice? Or if you go in the city, then the people are more, their mentality is more complex than in the country. Certainly if we go in countries where the economy is so-called more developed, like England, Germany, America, people's mentality is very, very complex. Whole society is very, very complex. They're producing goods in one country, or taking raw materials from one country, exporting it to another country, then manufacturing it, exporting to another. Very, very economically complex, psychologically complex, very, very complex society. People become so much absorbed in these complexities, they cannot even think, what is the purpose of life? They don't even think there's any purpose. It's simply, we are here now, enjoy. So much pressure to enjoy the senses. Advertisements everywhere, enjoy this, enjoy this, enjoy this, enjoy this. And without spiritual knowledge, people, they think, yes, I shall enjoy. Yes, I shall enjoy. Overwhelmed by this pressure for sense gratification. So by distribution of these books and by preaching of Krishna consciousness, the Krishna consciousness movement is supposed to give a completely new paradigm to human society. That human life is not meant for this. This is not advanced. See, Prabhupada was never impressed by this. Prabhupada said that so many swamis came from India to America, and they all started off by praising that, oh, you are very advanced. Prabhupada said, I started off by saying, they're all rascals. Prabhupada, he saw the coast, the skyline when he arrived at Boston Harbor. He saw so many big industrial enterprises. And in India, they're advertising that this is the perfection of life, to develop industry. But Prabhupada wasn't at all impressed. He said that he wrote his poem that this whole society is simply covered by the lower modes of nature. How can I awaken their interest in Krishna? So really our movement is a revolutionary movement. That it's supposed to bring a completely different way of looking at the world into the human society. People can't understand our movement. They call it a sect, whatever that's supposed to mean. Generally means something which is strange and bad. That people, they're not working hard to make money for sense gratification. There must be something wrong with them. But our propaganda is to awaken our people that actually there's something wrong with you. In the early days of the movement, so many people used to say, the Hare Krishna people are crazy. Why should they walk around the street in what looks like some orange bed sheets and shave their heads? Now it's a fashion, but in those days it wasn't. And some funny marks like this, and singing, and very strange. Many people said they're crazy. If you don't understand something, you just say crazy, and then you don't have to think about it anymore. Prabhupada wrote an essay, Who is Crazy? And he pointed out that actually Hare Krishna people are not crazy, but everyone else is crazy. That if you simply live your life working, 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 without knowing what is the purpose of life, and you say, well, I just want to be happy in this world, I'm working so I can be happy. But you're not happy even now. So who's crazy? You want to be happy, but you're not happy. So we are thinking so much deeply about the purpose of life and understanding who is Krishna. If you don't recognize the existence of God, then you're crazy. And that doesn't mean just lip service, give us this day our daily bread. Understanding the reality of God's existence, one should dedicate one's life to Him. So even sometimes we want to be recognized as a bona fide religion. But according to this verse of Bhagavatam, we're not even a bona fide religion. Because a bona fide religion means praying to God for daily bread. Normal religion in this world means, dear God, you're very great. Your purpose is to fulfill my sense gratification. Do it. This is considered religion. But Krishna consciousness has a completely different concept. That we're not this body. That we're not meant for enjoying these bodies. That there is no enjoyment from the body anyway. That everything should be used in the service of Krishna, the transcendent Lord. So we're not a sect, whatever that means. And we're not a bona fide religion, whatever that means. This is the Krishna conscious movement. It's unique. It's not that, well, you know, there's Jews and Christians and Orthodox and Protestant, and there's also Hare Krishna. Practically no one knows who is God. Even though they may, as a sake of formality, practice religion, they don't know who is God, and they don't want to know who is God. Their purpose of life is to enjoy sense gratification. But in Krishna consciousness, this the idea that we shall enjoy this material world is rejected from the very beginning. Although devotees actually do enjoy. They're the only happy people in the world. They're happy how? By chanting Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. This is our motto. So they wonder, well, how is that? However or why ever, it's a fact. If you chant Hare Krishna, you'll be happy. If a devotee is not happy, there's something, if he's morose, something wrong. He's not properly chanting Hare Krishna. Means he must be meditating on sense gratification. But if we're actually chanting Hare Krishna, then we must be happy. Because if we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're praying to Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates. Very simple formula, how to be happy. You don't need a BMW car. You don't need a villa on the sea coast. You may have these things. We're not saying you don't have to. You can have them all. But you don't have to have this. What we really need is Krishna. So this is one of the key verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, which sets the tone for the whole Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said it was his favorite verse. So we shall try to enter into the spirit of this, that all activities are meant ultimately to satisfy Krishna, not for sense gratification. Is there any question, please? You can do, but then you can have to say it again in Croatian. So the
Lack of our Krishna consciousness,
if
we don't have enough money, if we don't have money at all. And they say,
oh, that's Protestantism.
And they say, where is Krishna, there is Lakshmi. And so if we don't have money, we're not Krishna conscious. Can you say something about that?
Well, now I know why I never had any money all these years. This is the answer. What should I do? Chant some more rounds. Give me money, give me money. Give me money, give me money. Yeah, this is Protestantism, that God helps those who help them, God helps those who help themselves. Poverty is, in Protestant religion, in some strains of Protestant religion, it's considered that if you work hard and you believe in God, God will bless you and you can enjoy this world with plenty of money. They built a big new church in Atlanta. It's the biggest church in Atlanta. Everyone knows Atlanta, right? Because they had the Olympic Games. Before, no one knew of it. Now everyone knows. So it's called the Prosperity Church. And the philosophy behind this, we say philosophy for want of a better word, is that if you pray to God, God will make you prosperous. So people come in and they say, they preach that before I had so many debts and now I drive to church in a Mercedes. Now it may be that Krishna blesses his devotees with lots of Lakshmi. And generally, Prabhupada said that if we're preaching, then Krishna will generally bless us with all we need to preach. But on the other hand, if we think that our success is synonymous, success in Krishna consciousness is synonymous with money, then it's a somewhat strange mentality. This became very strong in some zones, some GBC zones in our movement at one point in time. So it was considered, we shall send all the devotees out to sell lots of paraphernalia and make lots of money and have very fancy temples with gold-plated doorknobs in the bathrooms. Yes? And this is the sign of our Krishna consciousness. So money may be there if Krishna so blesses. And it may not be also. That Krishna may give or may not give. But we can't judge a person's Krishna consciousness. Maybe I'm saying this because maybe if I had gold buttons, I'd be preaching differently. But we find the symptoms of advancement in Krishna consciousness given in the nectar of devotion. That a devotee is very tolerant of material conditions. Kshantir avyarta kaladvam, doesn't like to waste time. There are so many symptoms. And he's always eager to glorify the Lord and his pastimes, attached to the holy names, likes to live in a holy place of the Lord's pastimes. He's always confident of receiving the Lord's mercy. So we don't find anywhere that it's said that advancement in Krishna consciousness is measured by your bank balance. If devotees are blessed with Lakshmi to use in Krishna's service, they accept that as the blessing of Krishna. But they don't take it that we are more advanced than those who don't have money. And if devotees don't have much money, then anyway they go on chanting Hare Krishna. In preaching Krishna consciousness, organization is required. Lots of money is required. Prabhupada said that we can take all the money of the world. We know how to use it properly. Give us money, we'll build temples, we'll print books, we'll distribute prasadam. So yes, we want money. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nadhanam, I don't want money. That means he's teaching us for our personal selves, we don't want money. What do we need that? But for Krishna's service, we want all the money. However, if Krishna doesn't send it, then we'll chant Hare Krishna anyway. You have to be very careful. Money can be... See, if we're not fully Krishna conscious, if we become too much interested in acquiring money, then we can become polluted by that also. That's why Prabhupada's policy was, which he got from his own spiritual master, don't keep money. Don't build up big amounts of money in the bank. If you get money, spend it immediately. Print books. Distribute prasadam. If you have extra money, print lots of books. And when you need money, you have to distribute the books. So that's a better policy. Any other question?
mentioned like the two sides, the television and the newspaper garbage, and I'd like to ask one question to the because while doing military service, I've been listening to the conversation of two fellows there, and they were talking about our president of our state, and commenting that he has lost his hair as a result of chemotherapy. And since I didn't know the facts, I asked them what's wrong with him, does he have cancer? And then their reply was, how is it possible that you don't know these things, you're not interested in this thing, it has been an open secret for 6 months, it has been written in the newspaper. You keep yourself isolated, you're not interested in politics, in art, in film, and acting, theatre, whatever. All you want to speak about is Hare Krishna.
Now in one sense they're praising you. It's just like you find the demons, they blaspheme Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find. But actually they're indirectly praising Krishna. So if they say you're not interested in politics, you're not interested in film, in sports, that's very good. Actually, you're right, I'm often saying that I'm warning against TV. But I don't think I was stressing so much on newspapers, because I quite regularly read them myself. At least, these last almost 2 months I've been traveling and places where I don't see English newspapers, so I haven't been reading them. I also had the same experience when I met my father in England. He was surprised that I didn't know that France had won the World Cup and other such important things. I remember also in England the same thing happened to me years ago, many years ago. Someone was surprised that I didn't know the name of the Prime Minister. I never heard his name. So actually I do read the newspapers when a newspaper is there. I'll have a quick look at it to see. There are often interesting things which you can relate to preaching. Just like if you want to talk about how degraded the modern society is, it kind of brings the subject to life. If you say, you just see the leader of the most powerful nation in the world is having sex with some woman his daughter's age, and everyone seems to think this is very nice. Usually I just look at the newspaper quickly, see the headlines, see if there's anything which is useful for me to read, which usually isn't. And then if there's anything I should read, I read it, and like that, finish 5-10 minutes maximum. If we're preaching, then it's good to keep in touch with these things. But it's not that you should become absorbed in it. For our time, we should rather open Srimad Bhagavatam, become absorbed in that. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.